This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's also a terrorism expert as well as a professor of Middle East Studies. His most recent book is The Confrontation. We want to get his thoughts today on a couple of subjects, including the arrest and charges against the so-called Jihad Jane in Pennsylvania, the woman who tried to recruit folks to carry out terror plots and even committed herself to killing a man in Sweden. We also want to get his thoughts on Vice President Biden's trip to the Middle East. And Dr. Faris, always great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me today.
You and I have talked many times, Dr. Faris, about the fight against jihadism being first and foremost an ideological one. So when you hear a story about this woman in Pennsylvania, this Colleen LaRose, now known as Jihad Jane, what does it tell you about the different methods and effectiveness of spreading jihadism right here in America?
Absolutely. This is only to confirm that individuals not really coming or born in or immigrated from the Middle East, the Arab world, or the Muslim world, have been and are now approached, indoctrinated, and then mobilized and tasked into becoming jihadi terrorists. This is yet another example. After the many examples we had in 2009, very diverse example from the North Carolina cell, the jihadi operatives in New York, in Illinois, in Texas, the Hassan case, Nidal Hassan case, and Fort Hood, and of course, Abdul Muttalib. This is telling us that the indoctrination structure, which is either online or in real persons, is working inside the United States. And you and I, yes, had many times discussions about who is going to be the next model, what kind of mutant jihadist. And in this case, Jihad Jane is a very interesting case. It tells us, and we discussed it, if you recall, in the fall, that Al-Qaeda will always look to be ahead of us in terms of finding the less suspicious, the more American, passport-holding, no-accent citizens who could be better operational than any immigrant jihadists.
Dr. Faris, how do they target people? This woman obviously eventually converted to Islam, but who are they targeting online as potential recruits for this type of radicalism?
There is a whole manual on this. This is not done randomly. This is not done by chance. And the manual basically is to send as wide as possible those waves of indoctrination features. It could be online. It could be through individuals who would approach a person, male or female, who feel that they are weak, that they are abandoned in society. And if you note that most of the cases of individuals who have been not just converted to Islam, because there are millions of people who convert to Islam, who have been indoctrinated while the conversion is on. So my conclusion has been to Congress and to many of our democratic allies in Europe, democracies, be careful who is producing the conversion, not the conversion itself, meaning who pauses as somebody who is helping you to move from one faith to the other, which is perfectly legal and acceptable, but in fact is luring you into an ideology. So that person ends up thinking that he or she are working on behalf of theology, while in fact they have gone too far to an ideology. And that would be the case of Jihad Jane and many other people.
We're talking with Dr. Waleed Faris. And Dr. Faris, maybe this is a little bit of what you already just answered, but once they identify people, what tactics do they generally use? What are the trigger points for which people generally respond and do what they want them to do, even though they're doing it for different reasons than they understand?
The higher you are in the indoctrination strategy, meaning the understanding of the ideology, the more uniform it is. There are not two, three, or a million ideologies. It's one. It's Salafi jihadism or the other version, the Iranian Khomeini jihadism. Once you go to the middle range, meaning what is your ethnicity? How can you serve our cause? As I said earlier, you're right. If you are an American citizen, great. If you are a female American citizen who speaks, fluent English, then even better. Then it will become the tactical level. And then you go to the individual level. This specific person may have more emotional or psychological or personal, economic, and other reasons to be injected into action. That would be the level where the operative, it could be online and it could be in person, as I said. So in some of the cases that I have reviewed, the more, I would say, less the less stable the person is in terms of being surrounded by a solid social structure such as Al-Muttalib of Nigeria. He had had a lot of problems. The problems did not cause him to become a jihadist. But once he became a jihadist, then that would fuel more action, and he would respond more to tasks.
Dr. Ferris, obviously this woman was caught before she could do any serious damage, but what are the keys to disrupting this sort of recruitment and activity?
Well, it also has multiple levels. I've been briefing and, you know, testifying to government for many years now. You've got to disrupt it on the tactical level. That's what law enforcement are trying to do, meaning find out who has already radicalized, follow, and see if there is a recruitment process as a result of that. Now, how to determine who has radicalized? Well, that's the beef here. You need to understand the ideology. Our law enforcement and counterterrorism networks need to be educated about the ideology so they are not finding them just very close from performing their act. And at a much higher level, what we need is a U.S. government effort, free world effort, with the strategic communications to make sure to affect the individuals or communities before they are indoctrinated, not after they are indoctrinated. It's too late.
Dr. Ferris, another topic that I mentioned in the introduction, Vice President Biden heading to the Middle East. Just days earlier, we heard that indirect peace talks between the Israelis and Palestinians were set to begin again. The Obama administration upset that as soon as Biden got there, the Israelis announced they would soon begin construction on more settlements, which the Obama administration has specifically said should not be going on anymore. Your thoughts on the significance of what we saw there this week?
Look, my thoughts are still the same, almost the same, since the 1993 Camp David first agreement between the then PLO of Yasser Arafat and the then many Israeli governments. Every time the two sides get close to achieve a strategic goal, it's not about, you know, just stopping the missiles from Gaza or the settlement. It's about recognition, mutual recognition between the state of Israel and the state-to-be of Palestine. There is a force, a regional force, which does everything it can to sink that process. And we've seen the farthest attempt by, let's say, the Iranian-Syrian-funded Hamas organization in 2007 to break the Palestinian unity. Now, what does have to do with Israel? If you don't have a Palestinian unity, if you don't have a government that controls both the West Bank and Gaza, to convince the Israelis that peace is at the end of the path, then obviously you're going to have many in Israel who are going to say, we don't trust that, we're going to continue with the settlement. I think the Israeli government should offer the possibility of freezing the settlement, knowing how important psychologically this is for the Arabs in general. But on the other hand, we need to have a real plan to empower the Palestinian Authority to seize power in the entire Palestinian territories, sit down with the Israelis, and complement and finish with a job that began in 1993.
Dr. Ferris, I know you've got to run on a very busy day. Thank you for your time with us, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Waleed Ferris, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's a terrorism expert and a professor of Middle East Studies. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.